In Civil War America, while men fought distant battles, four sisters waged their own war against poverty, personal flaws, and society's limitations. The March sisters, Practical Meg, Fiery Jo, Gentle Beth, and Artistic Amy, live in genteel poverty with their mother, Marmee, while their father serves as a chaplain in the war. What begins as a simple Christmas tale of four girls lamenting their lack of presents transforms into a rich tapestry of female coming of age during a pivotal moment in American history. When Meg confesses her embarrassment over their shabby home and Jo dreams of selling stories to help support the family, we witness not just childhood concerns, but the economic realities facing women in the 1860s. The sisters' journey from childhood to womanhood parallels America's own painful transformation through civil conflict. Their struggles with limited options, creative ambition, and the pressure to marry well still resonate powerfully today. Each March sister represents a different approach to the central question: how should a woman live her life? Meg, the eldest, struggles between her desire for luxury and her commitment to simplicity. Jo, the novel's beating heart, rebels against feminine constraints with her boyish manners and literary ambitions. Her declaration, "I'm happy as I am and love my liberty too well to be in a hurry to give it up," was revolutionary for its time. Shy Beth embodies selfless domestic virtue, finding joy in music and family rather than public achievement. Amy transforms from a vain child obsessed with lime drops to a cultured young woman who balances artistic aspirations with practical choices. What makes these characters endure is their profound authenticity. They feel like real young women with relatable flaws and dreams.
I am angry nearly every day of my life. With this confession to Jo, Marmee challenges Victorian ideals of serene motherhood. As the March family's moral center, she offers a revolutionary parenting model valuing authentic character over social conformity. She nurtures her daughter's individual talents while teaching them to balance self-development with compassion. Marmee's approach reveals deep psychological insight. When Amy faces humiliation over forbidden limes at school, Marmee addresses her conceit with wisdom rather than mere punishment. She transforms misbehavior into growth opportunities. Most revolutionary is her acknowledgement of women's emotional complexity in an era demanding perpetual sweetness, validating women's full range of emotions while modeling healthy management through patience. This moral framework shapes the sisters' coming-of-age journey, which Marmee frames through Pilgrim's Progress. Each sister must overcome her burden: Meg's vanity, Jo's temper, Beth's timidity, and Amy's selfishness, while progressing toward maturity. Their path reflects authentic adolescent development through setbacks and triumphs, as seen in Meg's temporary materialism at the Moffitts and Jo's evolution from sensationalistic to authentic writing. Alcott's portrayal proves revolutionary by showing that marriage isn't women's only meaningful path.
Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents. This opening line captures the March sisters' genteel poverty, having a servant but no money for gifts, reflecting middle-class life during the Civil War. Financial pressures shape key events, from Meg's governess work to Jo selling her hair for Marmee's Washington journey. Each sister's approach to money reveals character. Meg yearns for luxury and makes impulsive purchases. Amy initially prioritizes wealth and suitors. Jo views money practically as a means to independence, while Beth remains content with simple pleasures. The novel contrasts the March's principled poverty with other characters: Mr. Lawrence's generous philanthropy versus Aunt March's isolating miserliness. Through these dynamics, Alcott critiques Gilded Age materialism while suggesting that one's choices about money matter more than wealth itself. The family's maintained dignity despite financial constraints exemplifies this message.
Jo's declaration, "I'd rather be a free spinster and paddle my own canoe," challenges Victorian views of marriage as women's destiny. While the March sisters ultimately marry, Alcott subverts romantic conventions throughout. Meg and John Brooke face realistic marital challenges until Marmee helps them find balance. Amy evolves from pursuing wealth with Fred Vaughn to finding genuine love with Lori. Joe's path proves most revolutionary, rejecting Lori despite their friendship and finding intellectual partnership with Professor Bear. Marmee's preference for happy old maids to unhappy wives reflects the novel's nuanced view of marriage, neither dismissing nor idealizing it. I've got the key to my castle in the air, but whether I can unlock the door remains to be seen. Each March sister pursues creative expression differently, with Joe's writing ambitions forming the novel's central artistic narrative. Through their journeys, Alcott explores the challenges facing creative women in a society prioritizing domestic duties. Joe's writing career mirrors Alcott's own, from penning melodramatic tales for money to finding her authentic voice in personal stories, prompted by Professor Bear's critique of her sensational work. Amy's artistic path reveals both opportunity and limitation. Her European tour provides cultural education unavailable to her sisters, yet she ultimately concludes she lacks genius and chooses to make her life her art. Beth's musical gift represents art as connection, her piano playing bringing joy to family and healing Mr. Lawrence's grief. These paths demonstrate Alcott's nuanced view of artistic life. While acknowledging barriers facing female artists, she celebrates creativity in all forms, professional, amateur, and domestic, showing both the possibilities and practical compromises of women's artistic ambitions. Physical spaces mirror internal growth throughout the novel. Beth's entry into the Lawrence mansion shows her overcoming shyness, Joe's New York move represents independence, and Amy's European tour transforms her from pretentious to cultured. The March home serves as a haven of warmth and moral education, contrasting with the Lawrence mansion to highlight wealth versus values. The girls' attic playroom, with its theatrical productions and newspaper, symbolizes creative freedom and sisterly bonds. Meg's time at the Moffitts reveals how environments can test character. These physical journeys parallel personal growth, Joe balancing independence with family ties, Amy gaining perspective abroad, and Meg choosing contentment in her modest home with John. Through these movements, Alcott shows how surroundings shape character, while true transformation comes from within. Little Women's enduring appeal lies in its vision of female solidarity beneath a domestic tale. The March sisters' bond, tested by poverty, illness, and temperaments, shows how women support each other through challenges. The reconciliation between Joe and Amy after the manuscript burning incident demonstrates how genuine remorse can heal deep rifts. The novel's moral framework celebrates kindness without preaching. When the sisters give their Christmas breakfast to the Hummel family, they discover generosity's rewards. By treating domestic life as worthy of literary attention, Alcott elevated everyday female experience. Joe's writing journey has inspired generations of female authors, from De Beauvoir to Rowling. Modern adaptations, from Gerwig's 2019 film to Korean dramas, keep reimagining the story. In a world where women balance career, relationships, and family, the March sisters show that the path to self-discovery, though winding, can be navigated with courage and loving support.